Hello, everyone. Today we'll be reading Luke chapter 2, verses 4 to 15. Please turn your Bibles there as we read together. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Amen.
Amen.
Thank you both so much for reading. We are going to hear from Ashley now to talk to us about God's words. Well done. I saw lots of people doing peace during that part of the service. Well done. Okay, Ashley's going to come on up.
Morning all. Thanks, Susie. Thanks for leading us through that bit of our service. And Susie will be back. If you haven't met me before, my name's Ashley, and I've got the joy of getting to serve as one of the pastors here. Let me pray before we begin. God in heaven, thank you for the peace that Jesus brings at Christmas. Help us to know about that peace and to trust it today, we pray, in his name. Amen. Okay, quick show of hands. Who has read this 1980s absolute classic of a children's story by Jill Murphy called Peace at Last? Come on, hands up, please. Thank you, that's more like it. Two hands over there, you've read it twice. This book, if you haven't read it, that's okay. Maybe this wasn't part of shaping your childhood, but this book follows Mr. Bear's efforts to find the peace of a simple good night's sleep. That's all he wants. He goes to bed, the family, they are dog tired or bear tired, and everywhere he goes, he just can't get any sleep. He tries different bedrooms in the house, you'll remember, no joy. He moves downstairs to the kitchen, to the garden, even the car. Oh, just when he thinks he's found peace, it's disturbed by something, right? His wife snoring. A dripping tap. My wife doesn't snore. A ticking clock. Some animal making an unusual noise. And here's the kicker of the story, right? After doing this all night, at sunrise, just when he gets back into bed and his wife has stopped snoring, just when sleep and rest washes over his body, bring, the alarm kicks in and he wakes up. What I'd love to do, if you haven't read this story, you can come and borrow it from me, but we're going to try and enter the world of Mr. Bear just for a minute together as a congregation, okay? So I'm going to be the conductor. You're going to be the choir and the orchestra, and we're going to split into thirds of the room, and then when I do the sign for peace, thank you, you'll stop. Okay, so this side of the room, you're going to be these kind of outside noises that were coming into and disturbing Mr. Bear's sleep. So you could be a drip, 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 the dripping tap, drip, drip. Drip, drip. You could be a humming radiator, if you, a fridge if you want. So I'll just let you choose. You ready? 3, 2, 1. Drip, 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 drip. Fabulous. Fantastic. When I do that, you stop, Naomi, okay? This middle part, the loudest part, all of you, you're going to have to put in some real effort, you guys over here, okay? No, in fact, we'll just do you guys. You're going to be the ticking clock, okay? And you can do the actions with me, kids. Ready? tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. Beautiful. I'm going to need a bit more volume on that, okay? Okay, this side of the room are winning. And now you guys, finally, you're going to be the alarm clock, okay? You're going to be the alarm clock, and you're going to go, bring, bring. I want to see real grade A effort. Come on, 3, 2, 1, go. Yes. Keep going, keep going. Yes, great, fabulous. Now, we'll go again. Ready? Fantastic. Wonderful. It's a great story. And in many ways, we are like Mr. Bear. Human beings, we are like Mr. Bear. And we are in desperate need of peace. Maybe not a peaceful night's sleep, although new mums, you probably do need a peaceful night's sleep. But humanity, we need peace. We need peace externally. We need peace internally. And that is the message of Christmas. And so we're going to jump into our passage. Children, again, you'll find it really helpful to have that in front of you in your little packs. Maybe you're colouring in, maybe you're following through. Adults, you can have your Bibles open. We're just going to zoom out. We're going to take our camera and zoom out to a wide lens on this story, a very famous scene. A couple from the north part of Israel, they travel to Bethlehem, a small town, the town of David, where a heavily pregnant Mary gives birth to her firstborn son. And this is no ordinary son. It's not just another baby. This baby was announced to shepherds, verse 8. This baby was announced to shepherds, very ordinary folks. But this baby was announced by very extraordinary folks. Who was it? The announcement of this baby was announced by who? Angels, exactly. I've got 4 children. My wife has had them all. And we announced all of the births of our children, not via an angel, but via WhatsApp. We took a picture of the baby, sent it, date, weight, all the rest of it. But this baby, this son, was announced, verse 9, by an angel. Not just one angel. Not just one angel. Verse 13, a host of angels. That's an army of angels. An army of angels announced the birth of this baby. Verse 11, and they said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, the Messiah, the Lord. And we're going to come back to this baby's identity. But the angels, they continue to announce, this time in song. The first 3 chapters of the book of Luke is a little bit like a musical. If you like musicals, you'll love it. A little bit like a Middle Eastern musical, maybe a Hebrew version of Hamilton. Basically, everybody is breaking into song. Mary, Elizabeth, and this time, it's the angels, right? Verse 14, and they sing this glorious song. We've kind of been singing it already. Verse 14, have a look at it. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests. Now, children, this is our verse, our focus verse. It'll be in your pack. So you're looking to fill this out now. Verse 14, and adults, this is our focus verse as well. Peace on earth to those on whom His favor rests. This week, on Tuesday, me and my 6-year-old daughter, Charlotte, we went to a show at the Norfolk Showground called, it was the Christmas Concert by the Norwich Philharmonic Orchestra, which our very own Bev Doubley played clarinet? Clarinet, that's right, the clarinet. Loads of songs, Jingle Bells, Frosty the Snowman, done to a kind of funky view with a lot of other classical hymns like Hark the Herald and others. But in the middle of this concert, there was a piece, a very old piece called Handel's Messiah. And in fact, a portion of this rendition focuses on verse 14. Verse 14, the repeated phrase, peace on earth. And it goes, the sopranos, those that sing high, they say, glory to God. And then the tenors, the baritones, they say, and peace on earth. And it goes back and forth like that. It's glorious. If you know anybody that's looking for somebody who can navigate the space of soprano and baritone, I am available for the next few weeks. But glory to God and peace on earth. What does that mean? What does it mean to have peace? What does it mean for you? Maybe for some of you, it's just a lie-in with nobody interrupting it. Just let me sleep. Maybe for you, it's a relaxing holiday, a spa, maybe a massage. Maybe for you, it's time alone, just no other humans, in a coffee shop or a bookshop or a second-hand bookshop. That's where I would like to go. Maybe it's time with friends. Parents, maybe for some of you, peace for you is just one day without hearing those dreaded numbers, 6, 7. Maybe that is just peace for you. Peace can mean many different things to different people. There was a poll taken in 2018 from people in countries across the world, 12 different nations, and it was called the Peace Perceptions Poll, and they were asked, what does peace look like? And they came up with some very similar things. Top three answers were no or less violence. It was jobs and money so that they can provide for family and for loved ones. And it was basically fair government, fair leadership, so that they can vote and live in safety. So it seems that humans from very different nations and backgrounds have some kind of a sense of what peace looks like. The question is, what does the Bible say? Well, in the Old Testament, which is part one of the Bible, there was a word that was used, translated peace. It was used a lot. Have we got anybody? Put your hand up. Anybody with the middle name or the first name Salome in the room? Or have we got any Solomons? Oh, it'd be great if we had a Solomon. No, no Salomes, no Solomon. Well, their name is derived from this word that means peace. It's the word shalom. It's got a great resonance, hasn't it? Can we say it together? 3, 2, 1, shalom. Yeah, glorious. That is great. Much better than the previous service. That's great. Now, it has a range of meanings. There's some on the board behind me. This word that we translate as peace, this word shalom, it can mean wholeness or completeness. So the sense that there's nothing missing at all. Physical and mental and spiritual well-being, completeness, or right relationships. Think of the restoration between individuals within a community, or especially the restoration between God and humanity. And this other sense, justice, where all wrongs will be righted. Justice for all, wholeness, completeness, harmony. In fact, this is how many ancient Hebrews, maybe even today, I'm not sure, would address each other. They wouldn't say, oh, hey, doing, mate, hi, how are you? They would greet one another by saying, shalom. It's like almost like a blessing over them and a statement of hope for the other person. Say it with me one more time. Shalom. Lovely. And when the Old Testament, part one of the Bible, was translated into a different language, into Greek, the word shalom was translated Irene. Any Irenes in the building? Anyone with a middle name, Irene? Hand up. Anyone? Maybe somebody online. You can drop it in the comments. If Irene is that word, it means peace. It comes from that word shalom. It was translated. And so in verse 14, in our focus verse today, guys, those angels that said glory to God on the highest and on earth, peace, shalom, Irene. It's that same word. This was the message of the angels. How amazing. Christmas is about peace, shalom, Irene. Wholeness, completeness, justice. However, this isn't, maybe it's just me, this isn't our experience of the world right now, is it? Maybe it's just me. But I don't think it is. We don't have peace. We don't have shalom, do we? Our experience is much like Mr. Bear's. So I'm going to need you, orchestra, again. I'm going to need you, choir, please. Our shalom, our peace has been stolen, right? There's noise from the outside. Come on. Drip. Thank you. It's not really a dripping tap. That's not what the noise is, or a humming fridge. No, the noise from the outside for us that robs our shalom, that steals our shalom, is when we open the newspapers or scroll down our social media feed or read something in the news and we see wars and racial hatred and exploitative greed and division. The noise from out there is breaking and stealing shalom. But there's also noise not just out there, but even in here, right? As tired, exhausted, restless people, wandering, searching. We don't have inner shalom because of the inner noise. Okay, you guys. Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. Thank you. Excellent. You can tell Bev's in the middle there. So we have no shalom, not because of a literal ticking clock, not because the second hand keeps moving further forward and forward, but we do have this internal sense that time is just slipping away, right? Right, children, think of a time. Who's ever been to a party and it was such an amazing party and you were having such a good time? It was so great. You were loving all that you were doing. And then somebody announced, and so the party's coming to an end now, and you cried. Charlotte, I know that you do that. You do that even when it's bedtime. You don't want the day to end. There's this sense of just time disappearing. Or adults, think about those moments when, I don't know, maybe for you it's you're on a run, or maybe it's for you you're round a dinner table, you're climbing up a mountain, you're somewhere, and there's a moment, just a moment of a few seconds where you're like, everything in the world is just as it needs to be. There's a sense of like completeness there. And no sooner do you experience that, you maybe run into traffic or you trip over, or there's an argument that breaks out of the table, or there's clouds that gather above, whatever it might be. We have this sense that time is just slipping away. One author said this: our lives are like a musical symphony, like an orchestra, but at the time when it just about reaches its climax, the music just cuts off. It just cuts out, and we're forever chasing that sense of wholeness, completeness, of coming together. And lastly, our alarm clocks. 3, 2, 1, go. Thank you for humouring us all. You know, we're not woken by physical alarm clocks, that's not the point, but we are, our life, our peace, our shalom is intruded like an unwanted noise of the reality of pain and suffering and ultimately death, right? The lost loved one that can never be returned, the relationship that's severed, unable to be repaired, and the great alarm clock of this universe, which is the reality of death that comes for us all. All of these effects, whether it's the noise of life, whether it's the slipping away of time, whether it's the intrusion of unwanted pain and danger and harm and hurt and ultimately death, all of these things, all of the chaos and the noise of life are the result of one thing ultimately, the shalom shatterer, that is sin. That's what the Bible says. That is what our experience teaches. And the question is then, what on earth can we do? How, in all of the mess of this very real chaos, the noise from outside, the slipping away of time, the reality of death and pain and suffering, how are we to have wholeness, completeness, peace, shalom, irene? Well, the answer is in the manger. Verse 11, in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. The answer to life's problems and the issues is the Savior in the manger. But how does a baby save? How does a baby save? Babies aren't very strong. I could beat a baby in an arm wrestle. Easy, really easy. No matter what the baby, I'm pretty sure any baby on earth. Come here, I'll beat you in an arm wrestle. I can beat you in an arm wrestle too, Joel. Yes, I can. You might beat me, maybe. How can a baby save though? Well, yes, Christmas is about the manger. It is about the manger, but we can't stay at the manger. We don't stay at the manger. We need to go to that other wooden instrument, the cross. A little bit later, we're going to be doing our memory verse. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Parents, you're going to love it. And twice is repeated. He is the Prince of Peace. That's right. He's the Prince of Shalom. The Prince of Peace, the baby born in the manger, is the eternal God, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful counselor who entered our world of noise, entered our world of time slipping away. He entered the world of suffering and death as a baby, but then he grew as a man in perfection in order to suffer and die on the cross. The Prince of Peace came, defeating all of the shalom-shattering results of sin, death and brokenness defeated forever as he nails it to the cross, and by his resurrection, he makes perfect peace possible. He became sin, The Prince of Peace became sin so that we might know perfect shalom in him through faith. This was the peace that came to the shepherds. This was the peace that the shepherds then went out and proclaimed to others. And this is the peace that's yours today through faith in Christ, if you trust in him. Now again, you may have noticed that even though Jesus came in the manger, even though he died on the cross to defeat sin, and he did raise from the dead 3 days later and there's an empty tomb, we still don't experience perfect shalom now, do we? We don't. However, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, talks about a time coming. One last time, I'm going to be the conductor, you're going to be the orchestra of pain and suffering and noise. Can we go again, please? You first. Drip, 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 drip. All together this time. Drip, drip. You guys, tick tock, tick tock, the slipping away of time. You guys, the alarm bells of pain and suffering. Ring. Keep going louder, please. Louder, louder. There's coming a day when once and for all, the Prince of Peace will return and he will bring ultimate shalom once and for all for his people forever. The reality of time slipping away and death gone. No more pain and external and internal problems. No more death and suffering forever and ever and ever. Perfect peace. Perfect shalom. Peace at last. This is the last word. We're to do what the shepherds did. We're to rejoice. If you know him especially, rejoice. And respond, tell others what he has done. This is the final thing I'll say. We'll sing a number of songs this Christmas, I'm sure. One of them that you might be humming is one that John Lennon and Yoko wrote, I think in 1969, well before I was born. And it's called So This Is Christmas, or This Is Xmas. And there's this refrain that goes on throughout this song, doesn't it? No more what? No, what is over? War. War is over. And obviously he's singing about the hope really for Vietnam, the Vietnam War. This was a campaign with the song and billboards that went all across the US. War is over, they sang and they said, if you want it. Yes, Lennon was talking about Vietnam, but the great war that Christmas ended was the war between humanity's sin and God's holiness. And it was met by the manger baby who grew and died and rose again. And so we can truly sing, war is over if you want it, through repentance and faith in God's Son. That is true peace. That is peace at last. Let me pray. Father, thank you that you've made peace possible through the Prince of Peace, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this very real, true, historical event of his coming and living and dying and rising so that we, sinners, people that are broken, might have peace with you now and peace with you forever and ever in a renewed heavens and a renewed earth when you bring ultimate shalom at the return of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to keep looking to him, please. And we pray this in his name. Amen.